turn to his word. Judges chapter 13. There's a lovely verse in the book of Romans, the chapter 15 and the verse 4. Let me read it to you. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know, a very good kind of Bible study is to take an individual, a man or a woman, a person, and just have a look at their lives and see where we measure up to some of these characters in the Word of God. For folks, remember this, that these Bible characters were just men and women like the rest of us. There was nothing supernatural in themselves. What was wonderful about them was God specially anointed them. There's no indication to suggest that this man Samson, we're going to look at for a little moment or two, was in any way like the Mr. Universe. He may well have been, but he didn't have to be, because his strength was given to him of God. But he was just an individual, just a man. A very weak man, morally, as you'll see if you studied his life. But a man for all that. And folks, that's what you and I are. Just human beings. Nothing spectacular or wonderful about us. Except we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but that's down to the Lord, not to us. But the first verse of this chapter here in Judges is really the introduction to the story of the life of Samson. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. For some 400 years after the death of Joshua, the time of the judges, Israel would find themselves in sin. Then God would judge them and deliver them into the hand of their enemy. Then they would cry to God for a deliverer, and he would send someone. Then they got gave to their sin after a time. This was a situation when Samson arrived on the scene. You think with me just for a moment, first of all, of the state of the land at this time. It tells us the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Continual sin lay at the door of the people of God. They never eased off very much. And when you read their history, we'll not take time to turn to the various scriptures, but you'll see that this continual sin was always linked to idolatry. In Judges 2:11, 3 and 7, 8 and 33, 10 and 6, they got involved in idolatrous practices, worshipped other gods, turned away from the God of the scriptures. And folks, when the people do that, evil always follows. Immoral, vile, sinful religion. You see, bad doctrine leads to bad conduct. There are people who profess the name of Jesus Christ who say, listen, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm saved. So I'm all right. Now, when you're saved once, you're saved eternally and you're saved forever. But the one thing you would not say when you're a true child of God is, I can live whatever way I want to live, because you can't. All of us are bound by the law of God and by the word of God and the standards of the book. But that's what bad doctrine does. And that chapter that I've read, and that verse that I've read, you'll notice it says this, the children of Israel did evil again. Not just once, forget about it. Evil again. In fact, the book of Judges records 8 times where it tells us that Israel did evil. This particular one is the 8th. The others you'll find in chapter 2:11, 3:7, and 3:12, twice, 4:1, 10:6. 4 of these times, it brings in the little word again, as if to emphasize it. The children of Israel did evil again. You see, God's people don't seem to learn lessons from the past. Israel didn't. And sometimes God's people today, you and I, we're the very same. I think you need to draw back and think of the state of our own land. This land of ours, this nation of ours, is corrupt. It would need to be emphasized. This is an ungodly place. You think of legislation that has been brought in. You think of the laws about sodomy and all of this nonsense of the transgender business. An abomination, something vile and hideous. But folks, it's regarded now as normal. It's okay. These things are fine now because the land has corrupted itself. And the people have corrupted themselves. Is it any wonder we have a government that's corrupt and immoral? The scandals you hear of all the time. Bad religion, bad doctrine, bad practice leads to all these things. The state of the land. But it was done, as you notice from this verse, in the sight of the Lord. That's what it tells us. They did it in the sight of the Lord. Folks, listen. God saw it. And God sees everything that we do that's wrong. In the book of the prophecy of Jeremiah, you needn't turn and read the verse, and verse 17 of chapter 16, God says this: "Mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eye." Listen, God sees it. Oh, people may think they do it in the darkness, and they do it in secret. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 139 that the Lord even sees our thoughts. Think of that. Time and again you'll read in the Gospel, particularly in John's Gospel, that the Lord Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew what was in their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And you know, that should put fear in our hearts, that God knows all about us that there is to know. Things you maybe don't even know yourself. And because God saw this, God reacted. He delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Note the instrument God used. The most ungodly nation around, the Philistine. They were so much involved with Samson and his life, you know. They're mentioned in Genesis 21. Abraham encountered them, so did Isaac. Mentioned also in Exodus and Joshua. They became very prominent in the lifetime of Samson. The Philistines lived in a small part in the southwestern corner of Palestine. Their western border was the Mediterranean Sea. They were a small nation relatively. They had only 5 cities of significance. But by Samson's time, folks, they had great power. Until the time of David, when they started to fade away. Israel was a much larger nation than the Philistines. Yet they were overcome. Because God handed them over. You see what sin can do to a nation. realize what sin can do to an individual? God can step in. And that's why I fear betimes for the sinner. Men and women that sit in our churches, I have known some that have been in attendance in the Free Church since I was a student. And 47 years or so later, they're still not saved. And I tell you, I fear for them. I marvel at the long suffering and patience of God. But I fear for them. A close friend of mine told me the other day, he says, I'm no sinner. I took him to the meeting one Sunday night when he was here. And after the service he said to me, Trevor, that preacher was preaching at me all night long. And he doesn't know anything about me, but he was preaching at me. And he was, but not deliberately. God was still speaking. This man's over 80 years old and he still thinks, as he told me, I'm no sinner. I'm no sinner. But folks, we're all sinners. And I do think of these things at times. How much longer is God going to stay his hand? Maybe there are people in this meeting, I don't know. I know some here, of course, but not all. Maybe there's some people among us this morning. You've been fighting God for years. You're still not saved. Folks, I want you to know that there's people in prayer meetings in this church. And they're praying for you. And they're taking you on their hearts. And they're pleading with God to save you. And you're sitting on. You're not saved yet. It's time you came to Christ. Don't allow, they didn't allow Israel to have a blacksmith in the country. Did you know that? 1 Samuel 13:19-20, it'll tell you that. They were a smaller nation, but they had Israel enslaved, and they didn't even allow them to have a blacksmith to make a weapon. That's how much in control the Philistines were over Israel. It's tragic. Folk, take care in your life. And remember the words of the apostle in 1 Corinthians 10. If you think you stand, you can fall. Oh, look ever to Jesus. That's the key. That's the secret. Looking ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. That's really an introduction to the story of Samson. But you need to come, and our time is going, but you need to come to the story itself. Samson's a unique character because all other judges in the Old Testament are adults when they're introduced to the scripture. Not so with Samson. His coming was announced at his birth. And here's a strange thing. I didn't think of this until I did some reading on it. 25% of Samson's story is given over to the meeting of the angel with his parents. And to me, that makes it very, very important. Note this in chapter 13. Note the meeting, verses 2 and 3. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Isn't that wonderful? Just as the angel came first to Mary to bring her the message of the incarnation of the Savior. And this woman that played such a major role here, did you notice something? She's not named. I tell you an interesting wee study. The ministry of the unnamed. You think of people in the scriptures. Their names are not given. You think of the lad that had the loaves and fishes. That led on to one of the great creation miracles of Jesus on earth. I don't know what he was called. The man who carried the picture when the two disciples approached him about the upper room. The man that owned the upper room. Names are not given. And yet, what a work was done in that upper room. The Lord's table was instituted there. The Saviour met with his disciples in that intimate time there. Names are not given. And you can read on through the scriptures. It's a sermon in itself, but you'll discover you don't have to have a big name to do a big work. You know, in the furniture of the tabernacle, there were quite large items. But there were also very small items. There was little things called snuffers. And all they were to do was to put out the candles. But they were needed. Folks, maybe you think in this meeting, I can't do anything much in this church. I have no talent. I have no ability. I couldn't stand at open air meetings in the town. I couldn't give them a testimony in a meeting. You think you couldn't do any of these things? I was preaching last week on Caleb. A man who for 45 years carried with him the promise of God. I'm going to give you this mountain. The end of that time, he goes, in his own words, as strong as he was 45 years ago as he is now, and he goes to Joshua, and he looks at Joshua, and he says, "Give me this mountain." Friend, he claimed the promise 45 years after he received it, and he was an old man. Age is no barrier to blessing. No barrier to work for the Lord. I tell you, you might not be known by very many outside the confines of the work in Macrofield. But if you serve the Lord, even in a little way, you'll be remembered in heaven. I tell you that. Didn't the Saviour say of Mary, "Leave her alone. She hath done what she could." She didn't do more than she could do. Or even more than was expected of her, but she did what she could. I'm reading at the moment the biography of John Bunyan. I never knew half the things about this man. What a man he was. He was a tinker, if you know what a tinker is. He mended pots and pans. That's what he did. And the great John Owen, the greatest brain, theologically perhaps, on a par with Calvin, he said this to the king. He said, "I would give up all my learning if I could preach like the tinker Bunyan." I know what I would rather have been. I would rather have been the preacher than the theologian. And theology is important, of course. It was Bunyan that was jailed for some 13 years in Bedford. And he said he would let the moss grow out of his eyelids before he would betray the Saviour and refuse to preach. Not too many men like that today. You don't have to be popular. You don't have to be known all over the world. But friend, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you this, you'll be known in heaven, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. This must have been an important encounter. The meeting itself, my time is gone, going. The angel first came to the woman. She was nameless. You see, you don't need fame. No, just need faith. That's all. And she was childless, of course, which was a great affliction for a woman to have in these days. His wife was barren. Great reproach to have no children when you desired them more than anything else. Despised by others, as the other women folk were, like Rachel and Rebecca. Who did she meet? Verse 3 tells us, the angel of the Lord. Now who was that? 23 times in Judges we read this phrase, the angel of the Lord. 13 of these times it's found in this account of this meeting. It's what the theologians called a theophany or a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnation appearing of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 22 there, I think it's verse 22 of the chapter. Manoah said unto his wife, her name still not given, we shall surely die because we have seen God. They had seen the angel of the Lord, you see. They had seen God, they had seen Christ. What a wonderful thing. You don't even know her name. Her barrenness is emphasized. The first thing that this woman heard from the angel of the Lord was her lack. But then she had a word of hope, you see, in verse 3, the latter part of verse 3. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I think that's a wonderful thing. You see, the gospel shows you, first of all, your utter ruin. Then it brings before your eyes the one who is your redemption. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's death, friend, to all sinners, but there's life in Christ, you see. Some woman waited in the scriptures a long time to conceive. Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, Elizabeth. But they learned patience. Two things are said about Samson before his birth. Very quickly, verse 5. The child shall be called a Nazarite. And then it says in verse 5, the latter part, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Separation. I've heard some preachers say in the past, years ago, that the Lord Jesus Christ was a Nazarite. No, he was a Nazarene. But he had the characteristics and qualities, of course, of the Nazarite. The verb from which the word comes is a verb that means separate. Separate from sinners. But this was a specific task that a man or woman could adopt, a Nazarite. And then the separation, of course, led to service. And we're told that he only began. He didn't break the Philistines just then, but he shook them. Oh, that God would give us a spirit that would shake the apostasy that ravages around. Wouldn't that be tremendous? Manoah's wife went to her husband and spoke to him about the man she met and about the message she heard. Dear believer, here's your task in life. You've heard about the man, Christ Jesus. But you've also heard about the message. You're to go into all that world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what you're supposed to do. There's a lot more, of course, in this chapter introducing us to. I preached a series on Samson many years ago. I don't know how many messages. Quite a number. But let me conclude very quickly by saying a word about the moment. Looked at the meeting, looked at the message. Look at the moment of his birth. Verse 24. She bore a son, she called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The Bible moves quickly from his birth to his work. Wherein did this man's strength lay? The Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Now there were times, of course, when Samson let himself down, the Lord down, the people down, even his parents down. But in spite of that, God still blessed him. God still used him. Much better if he hadn't have done the things that he did do. If he hadn't have slew that lion near the vineyard, or he shouldn't have been at the vineyard at all, shouldn't have been near the vineyard, things could have been different. If he hadn't set his affections on the woman Delilah and other strange women, it might have been so different. What he did accomplish in his death was a mighty thing. God can overrule all our wrongs and faults and even bring glory to his name out of them. Folks, just remember this. You've only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus.